Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
This Terry, though, sounds like pretty knowledgeable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the nymph, here's the this, and here's the that. So classic Susan here.
Then these are the adults. Here.
Terry, why'd I call the DNR? You're an expert on cicadas here. Terry, immediately no. Like, stop touching them.
Immediately no, Andrea throws in there.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Boy, if you're an early to bed type of person, you're not feeling real good today. Not a lot of sleep in those early hours.
Wow.
Or the waning hours of Tuesday.
Oof. It was loud last night. Holy cow.
This morning, thousands still without power in southeast Wisconsin, but we escaped the worst of this severe weather outbreak, which swept across the Midwest. Mandatory curfew is still in effect. That goes until 7 a.m. for the people of Greenfield, Iowa. It's about an hour southwest of Des Moines. You went to school out that way.
Yeah, right? I was in Des Moines. That's a little bit out of my reach there, southwest. That's in the boonies, if you will.
It took a direct hit from what witnesses described as a, quote, monster tornado.
The town of Greenfield taking a direct hit from what witnesses describe as a monster tornado tearing homes to pieces.
It got really, really loud, and we thought we lost our house, but we were lucky.
The hospital in Greenfield sustaining major damage. Windows shattered, the building evacuated. At least a dozen people injured in the storm were sent to other hospitals.
It's ABC's Andrew Dimbert reporting there. Now, this is the same line of storms that ripped through southeast Wisconsin, and right on cue, we had Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky with us on Tuesday morning, 7:20. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he said, yeah, look for it about 8 o'clock Tuesday night. It's going to come. It's going to be this big line. And that's about the timing. The only confirmed tornado touchdown in our state so far. National Weather Service did confirm already a tornado just west of Wausau. I've not seen any confirmations of actual on-the-ground tornadoes in our area where we did pop several tornado warnings.
Man, some of the pictures out of Greenfield, Iowa.
Gone.
Just decimated. You can see right where that tornado was rolling through.
And there are multiple fatalities with that. We don't have a hard number on it right now, but more than one person was killed in that particular tornado. And I know some folks get upset, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later this morning, but you know, the TV stations were wall-to-wall with their severe coverage, as were we here on 620 WTMJ. You heard Nisnansky on 4 explaining to viewers at one point, he's like, look, I know it's the Voice finale tonight,
right?
And I understand that's important to you, and we'll get to it when we can, but we have this history of deadly storms, and it's coming through right now. So you're dealing with a storm system that killed people just hours earlier. So I want you to listen to this woman. This is a woman in Greenfield, the community that we've been talking about here, devastated by a twister.
You never, ever think it's going to happen to you. You see other people happen, and you feel so terrible, but then you go, at least it wasn't me, and we're okay. And then it happens to you. And then you've lost so much. Your family's out of a place to stay.
Yeah, or worse. So, again, well, there's a tornado warning, but whatever. It's not going to be here. It's not going to be me. Well, sometime it could be your turn.
Right.
So fortunately, Wisconsin appears largely spared from major damage, injuries, or loss of life. We are still dealing with that power outage situation. Do you have the latest from We Energy?
It might have been 6,000, yeah. I think, at last check.
So they're making good progress on that. It was 13,000 when I came in this morning, and that's dropped already. So we'll keep you up to date on that situation as well. 6:15, sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The Milwaukee Brewers get back to their winning ways. It was a back-and-forth affair with those pesky Marlins until Yelich came up with two outs and two on in the eighth.
Yelich, a drive into right center field. That's going to get down for a base hit. Bowers will score. It's rolling all the way to the wall. Contreras around third. Yelich on his way to third. Contreras in there safely, and the throw hits off the facing of the Marlins dugout. Yelich in there with a two-run triple, and the Brewers take a 6-5 lead here in the eighth.
Yep, and the Brewers would go on to win 7-5. The ball would hit Yelich as he was sliding into third. He posted on X after the game that everything went blurry and I almost tried to steal home again. He's fine. Well, he's fine.
He's good.
The skipper loving what he's seeing out of the outfielder.
Coming off 30 days of being out and then doing what he's done since he's been back, you know, quietly. He would tell you he's not even swinging the bat great, but yeah, he comes up big in every situation and, you know, he sets the tone.
Rookie left-hander Robert Gasser, otherwise known as Bobby Gass, went six innings, which the crew needed because that bullpen was spent.
That helped us immensely. But the Marlins getting back in it is what hurts us.
Yeah, he wasn't too pleased with how Gass handled some of that there, getting in there, trying to get cute with some of his pitching. So AIM teams tonight, Freddie Peralta on the hill for the crew. Our coverage starts 5:05, first pitch 5:40 here on WTMJ. By the way, do you want to guess how many people were in attendance last
night?
Yes,
I do. Most of them were Brewers fans, it appeared. I'm going to guess attendance at 3,500.
47 people.
Terrible.
I'm
woeful.
Just kidding. 6,700, they claim. No yeah. way there were
no
six.
Way.
No way that many people
That's
were there.
Pathetic, Miami. I know there's a lot to do, but come on.
47 people total. That was it. Just a couple dozen.
And they, again, all Brewers fans. Off today as the Green Bay Packers continue this week of OTAs, organized team activities, near 100% attendance at these optional workouts. So that's a good sign among many, says Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
You know, it's early, but I'm really excited about this group and their ability to come together, compete, to push each other. I feel like there's a lot of good juice out there right now.
Yeah, some good juice.
I like juice.
I like to hear that. Packers quarterback Jordan Love says, entirely different feel this year than last.
Yeah, it's night and day. I mean, you know, last year you have a lot of guys, young receivers that are, you know, learning the playbook, that, you know, the timing, the chemistry is just not really there yet. And, you know, we go out there today and it's just night and day. Guys know exactly where they're going to be at. We have so much chemistry from last year.
Okay, book your rooms for the Super Bowl.
Here we go.
All good in Green Bay in May.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Thank you, Allen Iverson.
Still important.
It's what we have to talk about right now, I will grant you, but literally this is practice.
This is true.
All good for now at 1265 Lombardi Avenue.
Give it up for John Sakata.
It's kind of almost deafening.
With billions of cicadas emerging at the same time.
Confirmed, Wisconsin has its first cicadas, not cicadas, of the season in what is expected to be a bumper crop. There is a visual component to this. If you text the word watch to 855-616-1620.
If you're wondering what the bugs look like.
Yes.
Yogli.
We are streaming live on the YouTubes. Click the watch now button at WTMJ.com or on our WTMJ mobile app. That's going to get funnier. The special cicada open.
Yeah.
I hope you like it because there's going to be more of it. I say confirmed. Confirmed. Cicadas in with us. I did it to myself. Confirmed cicadas in Wisconsin. Confirmed in part by Susan Kim at TMJ4 News.
About her discovery is Terry Mess live from Lake Geneva. Hi, Terry.
The story that I'm sharing with you this morning is made better first because of the, you know, the open that I get to play with the cicada.
Right.
Next, because this is the season for the first time in more than 200 years that we'll have this double brood converging and overlapping. Mm-hmm. So much of the U.S. is going to be covered in these bugs. But also, the story made better because Susan Kim is telling it. And you'll see why as we go on through this. So she and Andrea Williams are on the afternoon news. And Susan explains how this got confirmed, that these cicadas that emerged in Lake Geneva are the first reported in the state.
Terry Mess from Lake Geneva emailed these photos to our newsroom today. As soon as I saw them, I got on the phone, called Terry, the Wisconsin DNR, and the entomology department at UW-Madison, sent them Terry's pictures, and both organizations told me that the cicadas and Terry's pictures are the first confirmed sightings this year in the state of Wisconsin.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Good work, Susan.
Nice job. I love Susan showing her work. Just want to let you all know.
Here's what I did.
Here's what I did.
Fantastic.
I can't wait.
So she's got this lady, Terry Mess, on live with her on the news. And Terry in Lake Geneva is showing live these cicadas right where they crawled out of the ground.
And he was looking at something. Just a second. One's crawling up my wrist.
Oh, no.
Okay, just a second. Okay, there we go.
So Terry's doing the show and tell here. She's picking up the bugs. They're crawling all over her hands, up her arm.
Can you show us around just a little bit? And what do you think about the fact that you have the first confirmed cicadas in the state?
I can't believe that. Hang on. Let me see. Here they are. They're really sticky. When they crawl on you, they're very sticky. But here are the chimney holes that we watch them crawl out of. And then these are the shells that they crawl, the nymphs that they crawled out of. This is a nymph. This is the part you eat.
Oh, my goodness.
This one has not crawled out yet.
Did you catch that? Andrea jumped in. Did she say eat? Hang on. What are we doing here?
Protein.
So if you're watching along with us on the live stream, we're putting up the video that TMJ4 had from this woman in Lake Geneva. And, yeah, they're crawling out of these holes and doing all this stuff. And there's Susan. So this Terry, though, sounds like pretty knowledgeable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the nymph, here's the this, and here's the that. So classic Susan here.
Then these are the adults here.
Terry, why'd I call the DNR? You're an expert on cicadas here. Terry, immediately no. Like, stop touching them.
Immediately no, Andrea throws in there. Susan, what did I call the DNR for? I think I have it confirmed with you here.
No reason.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's fantastic. That's great.
Sure.
They're here.
It's great.
Our busy season is typically June, right, for these, Deb?
It's throughout the whole summer, but usually June, July area. We're going to get the June bugs coming in, too. I saw my first one of those last night. But, yeah. So, we're going to, yeah. I'm not excited about this. My dogs are going to eat all of those shells and just.
And typically, I think for these broods, typically the further south you go, the more you're going to find.
So the crossover of this double brood is like East Central Illinois.
Right. Yeah. That's the path of totality for that. But as far as the cicadas that we are going to see the further south, like Walworth County, that's where they're at.
So there you have it. Confirmed cicadas in Wisconsin this season in Lake Geneva. Confirmed by the Wisconsin DNR, UW-Madison Entomology, Terry in Lake Geneva, and Susan Kim.
Well done.
At TMJ4 News. Jordan Love still trying to get a new deal with the Green Bay Packers, but he's at OTAs nonetheless. We'll hear from him in sports at 6:45.
All right, I'm going to play some sound here. What is this? What would you call that?
White noise?
Yep.
Ah, good, Deb. Yeah.
Very good, Debbie.
It sounds like one of those apps on your phone. That
straight up white noise,
sleep.
Yeah, that helps you sleep. So then what is this?
Cake noise?
Our radio station, if Pancake's not on his game back there.
Debbie, you knew that as pink noise?
I didn't know if it was pink or brown, but yes, I know there's differences of those.
So you know of the colors?
I do know of the colors.
Here's
what are you talking about?
This is brown
noise.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
So pink noise is rising in popularity, clearly, because Debbie, you know about this.
I'm a nerd, though.
Yeah, it has a different intensity per octave. Its energy is more concentrated at lower frequencies, and pink noise is all the rage now for helping you sleep. Researchers at Northwestern University have been studying the effects of different colored noises in our sleep patterns, and they say that pink noise is better to use than white noise. So for those who have the apps and whatnot, they should be listening to pink instead of white.
I wish I knew, because I've got tinnitus, so I wish I knew what type of noise that was, because it doesn't necessarily help me sleep at all.
You want the opposite of whatever that
exactly.
is.
Just
block it out.
And that is naturally generated for you.
So you can get those apps. Get the pink noise app.
Okay, pink noise.
That's
got
what
it.
You want?
Yes.
Okay. We are very sorry for the traumatic experience that everyone on board SQ321 went through.
That is Singapore Airlines CEO Go Chun Pung saying that Wednesday his company saddened by what has happened on one of their planes. I don't know if you heard about this story. Singapore Airlines flight, severe turbulence. They finally have gotten to Thailand. Dozens remain in the hospital.
A Bangkok hospital has just said 58 people from the flight are still being treated at local facilities, with 20 in intensive care. Passengers have described scenes of chaos and terror when the plane suddenly plunged thousands of feet, sending trays, cutlery, and people slamming into the ceiling of the Boeing.
Yeah, so this thing just, it plunged and then it went back up several hundreds feet. One person was killed, that person suffering a heart attack.
Passengers describe a sudden drop during a meal service that left passengers bloodied, overhead bins and oxygen masks dangling, dented ceilings, and debris everywhere. It happened about 10 hours into Singapore Airlines Flight 321 as it approached Thailand on the trip from London to Singapore.
Pretty devastating. Just thinking about it, when you hear some of these passengers explain this.
I saw people from across the aisle just like going completely horizontal.
Because this was happening during some of the meal services. So there were some people standing. There were dishes. There were cutlery, just items out in the aisle there when this plunge of the plane takes place.
That caught my ear in that report just because if you're belted in and everybody's, you know, and when pilots know that you're facing turbulence, yeah. Say, hey, ladies and gentlemen, from the captain's deck, we're going to turn the seatbelt sign back on if we can have everybody seated. You know, might be getting some brief turbulence here. Like when they know it's coming, they want everybody sitting and belted in so these sort of things don't happen. This tells me that it was entirely unexpected.
Came out of nowhere. And this, I thought this was a very interesting soundbite from one of the passengers describing that he didn't even realize what really occurred until after the fact.
Honestly, I didn't understand at all the full scale of what happened until we landed. The dents that were made in the overhead luggage compartments and all the additional kind of paneling heads had literally pushed through and broken those plastic panels, and there's blood.
Yeah, just didn't, you know, you see all the damage, and you're like, that's from people hitting the ceiling.
You know, we talked about the bad luck that Boeing has had, and some of that may not be luck. It may, you know, as investigations continue as to whether or not corners were cut by Boeing. One positive in this, that aircraft survived this.
You're right.
Yes, the interior banged up and all of this stuff, but think about what could have happened.
You're right. The plane landed.
Plane landed, and most of the people are ultimately going to be okay. 6:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Back and forth game for the Brewers and Marlins, but it's the crew coming out on top. They come from behind in the eighth thanks to a two-out, two-run triple by Christian Yelich, and then another run tacked in from this guy.
Now Adames lines one off the glove of the third baseman Rivera and into left field. Yelich trots home. Adames on his way to second. An RBI double, and the Brewers lead it 7-5.
Good to see Willie Adames get a nice hit. He's been scuffling a bit at the plate. Kind of a weird game. The Brewers were up, looked good, but then rookie Robert Gasser, Bobby Gass, he struggled a bit.
Kind of ran out of gas in the sixth, right?
A little bit. Pat Murphy on what really happened there.
He's a young kid, and he expects strikeouts. He's not getting them, and then we're ahead 4-1, and he's divided attention. Why can't I strike anybody out? That's the problem, you know what I mean? And then you start trying to be too cute, and before you know it, they're back in the ballgame.
Yeah, Bobby Gass getting a little cute there, right, according to Skip. Anyway, six innings, he left the game trailing, but yes, the Brewers were able to get back out on top. Freddy Peralta on the bump tonight right here on WDTMJ Radio.
Green Bay Packers will get back to the practice field tomorrow as their organized team activities, or OTAs, continue in Green Bay. These workouts are technically optional. Players are not contractually obligated to be there, but pretty much everybody is there. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
If you look at our attendance here, and I know we had one guy missing today for a personal matter, but you know, we've had almost 100% the entire offseason, which has been the best that we've had since I've been here.
And quarterback Jordan Love is there, even as his contract status beyond this year remains kind of an open question.
Yeah, I mean, that's just something that I've always done, trying to be here, get the reps in, get the work in with the guys, and just start building that chemistry and getting ready for the season.
So Love's agent and the Packers are said to be in talks about a long-term deal. Love kind of dodging questions as to whether he would play in the coming season without a new deal.
They're going to want a deal before the season, right?
You have to figure they figure that out, right?
He's going to want some coin.
Yeah, and they're going to want to do it. It's just, what does that structure look like? But you'd like to see that done even before training camp.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Time now.
No distractions.
Yep. Love it. Bit early to start worrying about it, but we'll worry about it eventually. 6:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. At 6:53 on this Wednesday morning, bringing our friend and teammate from 101.7 The Truth, former Milwaukee Police Lieutenant Dr. Ken Harris, to great fanfare, Dr. Ken.
Oh, now we're friends.
We're not friends?
You must be pro-scooter.
It's interesting you say that. I'm agnostic on the scooters. To great fanfare, it was announced this week that Milwaukee finally, after several years of these pilot projects and wondering what we should do with them, they are going to go ahead and do a contract with three different of these scooter companies.
Stupid. S-T-U-P-I-D. Here's why. We got about 76 fatalities. We got reckless driving. We got people disregarding red lights. So, hey, you can't even walk across the street. Let's throw a scooter in the mix. Makes absolutely no, right now, makes absolutely no sense.
They do get used.
And they do get hit.
Yeah.
So let me push back on that. And again, I'm personally agnostic on it. I can't see myself getting on one of those things. And actually, kind of as a person, if you're just out, I'll tell you where they bothered me once. I was in Deer District for one of the Bucks games, right. You know, and trying to enjoy just being out and about. Right. And zoom, zing, bing, boom, boom. These things are right. Flying all over and people
they
are walking.
So
it bugged me, but also I don't want to be anti-progressive. I know people really like them and I think
that has nothing to do with being progressive.
Okay.
Putting somebody on something that you know they're going to get hit by a car or a bus. You know this, especially now. You don't have the traffic piece under control, right? You know this. You well, know there's
aren't the scooters largely a downtown phenomenon though? Where
I've seen them in neighborhoods. I've seen them all over the city.
And not even just Milwaukee. They're in some of the other suburbs too.
It's
So how do you put that genie back in the bottle though? Like I say, progressive just because many other cities have these. People talk all the time about attracting and retaining young talent.
And apparently the scooter's going to do it?
Well, people like them.
that's pretty weak.
Not for me.
So would your opinion
would you
be
rather
different?
Have them on the bubbler bike? Is that it?
If we didn't,
yes.
Yes, why?
Because I've got bike lanes. And you're moving slow enough that I can correct it. Scooter, you're done. Once you make a mistake on a scooter and you're in the intersection, I don't know. And if you get hit by the trolley, oh.
Who's getting hit on the scooter by the trolley?
If reckless driving and some of the incidents we've had weren't as bad as it is, would your opinion be different
yes.
on the scooter?
Very much so. Very much so.
I forget. Can you clarify? Are you supposed to ride those on the sidewalk or are you supposed to ride them on the street?
I thought you were supposed to be on the street.
Right. I think you're right. But people ride them all over.
And now I open my car door, boom, you're in traffic. Like, it's just so many things that can go wrong right now. Wait 6 months. Wait till next year. Get the traffic thing under control. Get speeding.
That's happening in 6 months or next year.
If they wanted to, we can. But we have this thing called the, this little thing that the ACLU dropped on the city, and so now they're really not proactive. So traffic is going to do what it does, and it's unfortunate. I'm just wondering how many people have to die in order for us to figure out. Maybe we need to tell the ACLU in this lawsuit to go do something and take care of the city.
Now, what lawsuit are you referring to?
That consent decree that we have under us that now we have to deal with in terms of filling out three reports for
right,
one
every time
stop.
You pull somebody over, you got to fill out all the demographics, right?
It just doesn't make any sense. And so now officers are now so, hey. If I'm proactive, this could turn bad and I'm on national news. Absolutely not. So they do exactly what they're supposed to do, nothing more. And that's not a good way to police.
Well, scooters are here nonetheless, at least for the next year. City says it can make about $400,000 on the contracts with it.
We got to get you on one.
We just gave them how much for property tax and you got a 2% tax. And like, really? You want more money?
Can't never have enough.
Maybe they're going to give it to NPS. I don't know.
657 on Wisconsin's Morning News.